prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome, Truth Revolution. I'm Dave, with me is Jeff. We are a year old today.
We are a year old.
We are a year old.
Here we sit high atop the town site building in the KSAL studio, celebrating our 1 year anniversary.
High atop?
I didn't know that. We are high atop.
Oh, I just thought about that, actually, right before we dove in.
That's awesome.
So, we're a year old today.
Congratulations to us. Hey, if you're listening to the show, we want to know if you've been listening for a week or a year.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot us an email. Let us know, because we need to know people are listening to this show.
Right.
Otherwise, we're going to stop.
Really?
Probably
not.
We know people listen to the show. We get some emails. We get some questions. We have a question this morning.
Yes, we do.
But we also we need to know that more people are listening.
Right.
So we get donations. You can check us out, truthrevolution.tv. It's truthrevolution.tv. Go over there, shoot us an email, or call us at Revolution Church and let us know that you like the show, that you hate the show. I don't care either way.
Let
us know you're listening to the show.
As long as you're listening.
You don't want us to go off air if you hate us. Who else are you going to hate?
Right.
So, all right.
Obviously, if they hate us and they're listening for a reason. What are they going to say next?
So, this morning we're talking about God's omniscience.
Mm-hmm. That means his all-knowingness.
Yes, and we're going to talk about who was the smartest man that ever lived, smarter than Einstein. So we're going to talk about
I'll
that.
I'll give you a clue.
We're going to talk about...
He's sitting in this room.
You?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about quantum physics.
Uh-huh.
We got a question. We're going to do Bible contradiction this morning. It's all going to go really well, I think.
Okay. Well, I take that whole smart thing back. I don't know anything about quantum physics, so I'm done. Anyway, hey, you want to just go ahead and dive into this question?
Yeah, let's do the question, then we'll hit the topic.
Okay, this question comes from one of our listeners, and they wanted to know, why doesn't the Bible say that Jesus was married?
Well, the Bible does not talk about Jesus being married because probably he wasn't married. Now, if you're a Christian listening to this and you're offended that I said probably, I say probably because the Bible doesn't say he was or was not married.
Right.
So probably he was not married. We have no indication to believe he was married.
Right.
So he probably was not married. That's why the Bible says
that. Well, the second part of this question is they ask, were not all Jewish rabbis required to get married, and was not Jesus a Jewish rabbi?
All right. There are mainly two things with this question that I would say is kind of wrong.
Okay.
First... all Jewish rabbis were expected, and it was normal for them to get married, but it was not required. It's not like it was a law the Jewish rabbis had to get married.
Right.
Now, it was expected. I mean, that was definitely a cultural thing.
Peer pressure.
Yeah, and Jesus was a rabbi, and pretty much all rabbis got married. Uh-huh. That's, yeah, sure, I'll go with that. But it wasn't a law. He didn't have to get married. But second to that, Jesus was a Jewish rabbi, but he wasn't a rabbi in the sense of a traditionally trained rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
He did not... go to the rabbi schools. He did not graduate from seminary. I mean, he didn't do...
He invented seminary.
Right. He didn't go through all the normal traditional things that rabbis would go through to become a Jewish scribe or teacher of the law.
Right.
And so although he was called rabbi out of respect because he was a teacher, he wasn't... an official graduate of their schools or whatever gave you that title. He
wasn't in their circle.
Right, and he wasn't required to be married even if he was.
Okay.
So that's kind of the answer to that question. But let's jump in today into God's omniscience. When I was going I was going down to Table Rock Lake a couple years ago, and we were getting ready to leave. We jump in the van, and I had found some information about jet ski rentals. And I was going to call this place. It was super, super cheap that I thought I could get this jet ski for. It was a guy who owned a jet ski all on his own. It wasn't a rental place, but I figured instead of paying, you know, whatever it was, 100 or 70 bucks an hour for a jet ski at the lake, I could probably get this guy to, you know, for a couple hundred bucks for an entire week.
Right.
And so I called and I left him a message. And I was waiting for him to call back. We're in the van, we're driving. And I look at Meadow and I'm like, I hope this guy calls back. And my wife's just kind of smiling at me. And so I say, let's go ahead and just try. I'm just going to try to pray and see if God will give this to us.
Okay.
And so I pray. And I know I was praying for a jet ski. It's kind of selfish.
Silly,
but, you
silly.
Know, so let's just try it. And I figure, or I start praying, and I know God answers prayer. And
right.
So I get done praying and say, amen. And not 3 seconds after I say amen does my phone ring.
Right.
I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I pick up the phone. It was my wife beside me had dialed my number.
She's awesome.
That's messed up. Mm-hmm. I didn't know an important fact about that phone call when the phone rang. So I made a mistake. God knew all along, didn't he?
Yes.
That my wife was going to do that to me. God knew that God wasn't going to call, let me use a jet ski. God knew I didn't.
Right. Well, that's part of who he is. He knows
right.
everything.
One time, Jesus was driving demons out of people, and the Pharisees, these were real religious people. They probably had lots of boring prayer meetings.
Uh-huh.
And they were thinking, oh, Jesus must be the devil. So Jesus responds to them, and listen to this. Matthew 12:25, it says, Jesus knew their thoughts. Jesus knew what they were thinking. I mean, this is amazing. And just so you know, this is not isolated or out of context. 1 John 3:20 says, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything.
Right.
Well, that's about as plain as you can put it. God's all-knowing. He's omniscient is the word that we use for it. Omni means all science, you know, is kind of like mm-hmm. knowledge. So omniscient. Psalm 147:5 says, great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Okay, so omniscience is what we call a communicable attribute of God. Do you remember what communicable attribute means?
Communicable meaning he shares that with us?
Yes, meaning he shares it with us.
Okay.
So we share omniscience with God.
We do?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. Why? Because we know some things. God knows all things.
Okay.
So we don't know all things, but we have knowledge. We know some things.
I guess it would be better than knowing nothing.
Right. Right.
Rock.
So we just know a little bit.
Right.
Well, some of us know more than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us know less than others.
Right.
So Jesus asked Peter a question. He said, do you love me? And listen to what the Bible says. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know, Peter's response is like, why would you ask
right.
me that? You know. You know
mm-hmm.
the answer. And note that Jesus did not correct him. Jesus was like, whoa, 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 Peter. I don't know all things. That's why I asked you, dude.
Right.
No. It's funny that he even asked Peter, do you love me? Peter's even confused by this. He's like,
right.
you already know the answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
Still, Jesus wants that personal interaction, even if he already knows.
Right.
It's like, I'm putting my kid to bed, and I'll say, good night, I love you. Do you love daddy? I know he does.
Now, do you think that's a craving of God's, or do you think that was a craving of his fleshly form?
I don't think it's a craving of God's in the sense that we think of cravings,
mm-hmm.
but I think any right relationship is has the mutual desire to love and be loved.
Right.
That's a good desire and a good thing, and God always desires good. And so it would be good for God to desire us to love him.
Okay.
Just like it would be good for me to want my wife to love me. And so it's not that God has a need that's not being fulfilled if we don't. But yeah, God does want that because it is a good thing.
Okay.
So think about this. The smartest person who ever lived, not Albert Einstein, not Stephen Hawking, it was Jesus Christ.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
I mean, think about this. Jesus is the smartest person who ever lived. He
uh-huh.
could teach Einstein about theories of relativity.
True.
Okay. E equals MC squared, where C is the speed of light in a vacuum. The speed of light is the same to all observers, no matter how fast you go. It explained how black holes work. It explains the curvature of space and time. I mean, this is awesome stuff that Einstein came up with.
Right.
General relativity, though, cannot be reconciled with quantum physics. It can't right now in our current equations. Jesus knows how to reconcile general relativity with quantum physics.
Awesome.
He knows all things.
Right.
Isn't this amazing to think of Jesus in this way?
He created quantum physics.
Yeah.
And general relativity.
He did. And so he knows what equation we need to reconcile those.
But see, general relativity, it's just general. It's not specific, right? If it was specific, it would have said specific relativity.
Ba-dum-tsh. All right. You know, hey, I think we've got a Bible contradiction this morning.
Okay.
Why don't we
Bible contradiction?
And we will.
Oh,
and we
yeah.
are.
Okay.
Sounds okay.
good.
Our Bible contradiction today comes from the book of John.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, I went on to infidels.org.
Yeah.
And
awesome site.
Yeah. And if
not as awesome as truthrevolution.tv.
This is true.
Shameless plug.
I'm not sure if it's a shameless plug, but it is a plug nonetheless. Anyway, in the Bible, in John, we have two different passages in John 10:30 and John 14:28 that seem to be at odds with each other.
Okay.
And the overarching question is Jesus lesser than or equal to the Father?
Hmm.
Okay, he himself was talking in both of these passages. In John 10:30, he says, "I and the Father are one." And then in John 14:28, he said, "You heard me say, I am going away and am coming back to you. If you loved me, you'd be glad I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I."
Yeah.
Okay, so in 10:30, the Father and I are one. In 14:28, the Father is greater than I. What gives?
Well, this is, I'm going to just explain a little bit about how the Trinity works.
Okay.
And that will reconcile these verses.
All right.
But we have to understand that you're going to have to take my word on a little bit of it. I know we don't normally say it on this show, but I don't have time to do an exhaustive teaching on the Trinity right now.
Okay.
We've got a couple,
that's a whole nother
couple
show.
Minutes in
that's
this segment.
Whole nother series.
Whole nother show. It's going to be like a year. Anyway, Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, are all one in the Trinity.
Right.
They're equal in power. They're equal in glory. All of them are uncreated. So they're equal in a sense. That's true. In another sense, Jesus always proceeds from the Father and does what the Father wants. The Holy Spirit proceeds from Jesus and does what Jesus asks.
Oh, okay.
And so while we might say a soldier in an army, a lieutenant, is equal, he's a human being in the same way as a general. He has the same value in life.
The same rights.
He's the same rights. Mm-hmm. He's got the same inalienable rights. You know, he's a human being just like that general. However, the general does have the authority to tell that lieutenant what to do.
Okay.
And this is kind of how the Trinity functions, at least that we see.
Mm-hmm.
God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all equal, yet God still tells Jesus what to do. God the Father tells Jesus what to do, and Jesus obeys his Father.
Okay. And so there's kind of a hierarchy there, but they're all equal.
Yeah, I would be a little worried about expressing it as a hierarchy.
Okay.
But Jesus himself said God is greater, but he means that God has the authority, that Jesus obeys God.
Okay.
So, and that's our answer for today.
Bible contradiction.
All right.
Sir Isaac Newton, this is a quote by Tozer.
Okay.
Sir Isaac Newton, when he, the great English scientist, was an old man, someone said to him, "Dr. Newton, you must have a tremendous store of knowledge."
Mm-hmm. Particularly because they called him doctor.
His response, "I remind myself of a little boy walking along the seashore picking up seashells. The boy has a handful of seashells in his little hand, but all around him is the vast seashore stretching all directions as far as the eye can see. All that I know is simply a handful of seashells, but the vast universe of God is filled with knowledge that I do not possess."
That is awesome.
That is awesome.
They don't make people like that anymore.
Oh, man, that is Sir Isaac Newton. Mm-hmm. Talk about one of the smartest men who'd ever lived.
Right.
But Jesus, the smartest man who'd ever lived, because he was deity, not only does he know all science and all facts, Dave, he knows what's best for you.
He does.
He listens.
And I don't always do it.
He knows your past. He knows what's best for your future.
Mm-hmm.
You can either obey God and do what he suggests, or you can pretend to hide. But that's not going to work out too well, because Hebrews 4 tells us plainly, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight.
Right.
Nothing. I mean, everything. It says everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Wow, that is intense.
Yeah.
We're going to come back after the break here and talk a little bit more about Isaac Newton's quote. We're going to go a little further. I got some stories of answered prayer, and we're going to talk about why would we pray if God knows everything? That's a good question.
Wow, that is a good question.
So because, we'll just catch it on the other side of the show.
Right.
Go to truthrevolution.tv. We want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. We want to know that you're listening, whether you hate us or love us or you're just not sure. Truthrevolution.tv. Send us an email. Come out to Revolution Church.
Yep, that's coming up at 10:15.
10:15 this morning. You are totally invited. We want you out there.
1111 West South Street.
Wear what you're wearing now, unless you're not wearing anything.
All right, slip something on.
So come on out. It's really laid back as far as what you have to wear, what your expectations are. You just get to listen to some awesome rock music, get to hear me preach about Jesus. Hopefully it will change our lives a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So catch us on the end of this break.
Revolution.
And we are back. It's Truth Revolution. I'm Dave, and with me is Jeff. In case you missed the front end of the show,
we're talking about God's omniscience.
Yes, God's all-knowingness.
We're talking about the smartest man who ever lived. Smarter than Einstein, smarter than Stephen Hawking, smarter than Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear was fake.
Oh. Well, he's still smarter.
Well, he would have to be.
Jesus is smarter than Sir Isaac Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Isaac Newton said that he, although he knows a lot, he feels like he's just holding a seashell or a handful of seashells, and he looks up and down the shore, and there are thousands of seashells all over.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just have a little bit of knowledge, and I see potential knowledge everywhere. Right. But,
let me interject something here about Sir Isaac Newton, kind of a question. Do you think, I mean, because we've become so full of ourselves in this day and age, and, you know, they just don't make people like Sir Isaac Newton anymore. And do you think that was because of his realization of his place in things? You know, it's like I have a handful of seashells, but, you know, this vast ocean that God has made, you know, I don't even begin to know.
Many of the great scientists describe themselves as becoming scientists because they wanted to explore God's creation.
Right.
They wanted to understand, this is important, they wanted to understand the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
Why is our universe the way it is? They wanted to know what type of order God wanted, what types of things God created. And so many of these scientists, they weren't atheists like some of our scientists nowadays. Not all of them, but some of our scientists today are atheists. Back years ago, the greatest of great minds all believed deeply in a God. And they wanted to know the mind of God. And that's why they got into science, many of them in the first place. Some of them wanted to be theologians, but didn't cut it in theology school.
Right.
And so they became scientists. Now, obviously, they're still geniuses. They just, they were meant to be scientists. That's what God designed them to be.
Right.
So, yeah, pretty amazing stuff. But hey, truthrevolution.tv.
Right. Now, you know, I know you don't like to ask for money.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm going to do it for you. Okay, but you can go on to truthrevolution.tv, donate 99 cents if you like the show. Keep us on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't do this a lot. We don't beg for money or anything like that. But you know what? It helps to have it because it helps us to stay on the air.
That's right.
So
the show does cost us quite a bit, and we aren't rich.
Right.
Well, I'm not rich. I don't know about you.
I'm not either.
All right, just checking. But yeah, and so we're supported by people who believe in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as we're hearing from you and as long as people are donating, we'll stay on the air.
Right.
But yeah, just go to your web browser and just up there where you type in the address, type in truthrevolution.tv and then push enter. That was my tech support for today.
Nice.
And then you'll get to our website and just contact us. You'll find our information on there. Or you can call Revolution Church. Hey, come over to Revolution Church.
There
we start at 10:15, not very far away.
Mm-mm.
So get your shoes on. You know, you don't have to shine them. Just put them on. Just jump in your car. Come on over. It's real simple. Real simple.
Yeah.
So.
And, well, and you can get there real easy if you're coming west on South Street. We're just right across the tracks.
That's right. So if you know where Ace Hardware or Kmart is, we're kind of right around there. So look for Revolution. I almost said look for Truth Revolution. Look for Revolution Church. You're listening to Truth Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's do this thing here. We are, Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing is hidden from God's sight in all creation. Everything's uncovered. So this is a big deal. Now, what does the Bible say we're compared to? He says, everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him. The Bible says we're naked, basically, in front of God. We are exposed. There is nothing we can hide. God knows everything there is to know. I want you, if you're listening here, unless you're getting ready for Revolution Church, then you just keep getting ready. But if you're just sitting there, I want you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. I want you to write down something that God doesn't know about you.
Oh, boy. That could be a pretty small list.
Right. I mean, you can't do it, can
right.
you? I mean, we all know this, but we don't live like it.
Mm-hmm.
We act like there's things God doesn't know about us or that God can't find out or that he doesn't know about that thing I'm doing.
Right.
I read this book called God's Smuggler. was about a guy named Brother Andrew, who would smuggle Bibles into communist countries. And this is from the 1950s, and he was in the Netherlands. And in the 50s in the Netherlands, not many people had cars.
Right.
Only the very wealthy. And one day, a man from a prayer group came and knocked on Brother Andrew's door. He said, "God told us you should get a driver's license." Well, he ignored it because that was just stupid. He didn't have a car. He was far from wealthy. Mm-hmm. A week later, the man came back and said, "How are the driving lessons?" "No? No driving? Well, come, learn to drive." And he taught him how to drive. And Brother Andrew said, "Look, I couldn't afford a car even if I wanted to. Why would I get a driver's license?" Uh-huh. I mean, but that's the, and this guy's answer to him was, "Look, that's the exciting thing about obeying God, seeing what God's going to do with it.
Right.
We feel like God's told you to get a driver's license. Just do it and see what happens." Well, mm-hmm. he did. He went ahead, got his driver's license, and miraculously, a family later contacted him and said, "You know, we have a car that we just want to give you."
Right.
I mean, that doesn't happen much today, right. much less in the 1950s in the Netherlands, right. where owning a car was only for the extremely wealthy.
Right.
I mean, he then drove that Volkswagen over 200,000 miles smuggling Bibles into communist countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
God knows what he's doing. God knows everything. So we obey him because he knows the future. God knows what you're doing in your life. So my question is to everybody listening, right? Are you going to let him work or are you going to resist him?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a serious lack of trust, especially nowadays. You know, maybe not so much back in the 1800s or the early 1900s.
Yeah, but does God really know what he's asking me to do?
Right. I think it's because we as people have come to not trust each other.
Oh, sure.
And so, you know, if I can't trust you and what you're saying, then, you know, how am I going to trust something that I can't see?
Right, yeah. We think, oh, well, if God really, really knew my situation, mm-hmm. you know, he wouldn't say this, you know, or if God had known about my situation, he certainly would have told me in the Bible to not,
right,
whatever, you know, whatever your situation is. But listen, I mean, God does not learn things. He already knows everything all at once. He knows about your situation. He knew about your situation 5,000 years ago when right. he started penning the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
A.W. Tozer points out that we often have to describe what God isn't rather than what he is, because God, what he is completely different than us.
Yeah, well, what he isn't is probably a lot shorter list.
Yeah, and we talked about two traits of God, his independence 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You said, well, God needs nothing. Okay, that's what he isn't.
Right.
To express God's eternity, we say God had no beginning. We describe what he isn't, what he doesn't. So when we talk about his omniscience, God knows all, we say God cannot learn. God has no teacher. You know, if you think about it like that, there's nothing God can learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a neat way to
realize. He already knows everything.
Yeah, you're not going to bring something up to him and be like, well, God, you know, look at my circumstance. You know what? I'm glad you brought that to my attention. Because
right.
I told everybody in the Bible to not to do this, but you, go ahead, because
right.
you're the exception. I didn't see that one coming.
Here's something you'll never hear from God. Wow, you just learn something new every day.
Yeah, exactly. God knows all things, both real and possible.
Uh-huh.
He knows what happens if we hadn't shown up in the radio station today.
Right.
Psalms 147, God is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. All things possible. Not just a set number of facts and he knows them all. There isn't actually any limit on God's knowledge. I want you to know, God's knowledge is not limited to possibilities. He also knows which of those possibilities will become actualities. He knows everything.
That's awesome. That's
why God's knowledge doesn't stop free will. Because God knows all possibilities. He knows which of those possibilities will come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as though God knows a single isolated fact, and that is like a train, and there's no other possibilities.
He's not up there saying, let's see where this goes.
Right. Here's what I think it means. And let's be honest, prayer's boring most of the time.
Yes.
For people. Want to know why?
Why?
Prayer's boring because we're living and telling God something he already knows. Where's the excitement in that?
That's true.
Have you ever had a really amazing story and you go to show your friend? You're like, dude, you know, the other day I went down to 7-Eleven and I walked, and he's all like, yeah, you told me, dude. You're like, okay. And you're like just deflated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I wanted to tell the story. I already told him. Well, that's why we loathe praying, and religious prayer meetings are so, because sometimes I really dislike praying with other pastors. I love them, but this is boring.
Right.
Right? What if instead of prayer is being telling God what he knows, what if prayer was a a dynamic and obedient thing? What if you didn't have to wait to pray until your life stunk and then you wailed like crazy? Right. What if you didn't try to get up in the morning and just list all the facts of the day? What if prayer was dynamic, like full of life and, dare I say, emotional?
Mm-hmm.
The book of Psalms in the Bible is a book of songs and prayers, and it is emotional. They're telling God how they feel. They're asking God for help. They're going back and forth, God wrestling with their thoughts, wrestling with their desires. What if prayer was obedient? You find out what God wants you to do in prayer, and then you do it. For instance, maybe God, you tell God something that happened, and you ask God for help. And then, like, God, my sister is sick. Please help her not be sick soon. Well, God already knows that. What did that accomplish? Well, I'll tell you what it accomplished. You got bored, and so did God. What if instead of just saying, hey, God, my sister is sick. Please help her not be sick, you express what you want to have happen, your desires. You tell God how you feel about it. You ask God for specific help, and then you listen. Tell God my feelings? Yeah, mm-hmm. Tell God your feelings. The only thing God doesn't know is what it's like to be you from a first-person perspective.
Really? You don't think he knows that?
Well, he's not you.
That's a tough one. Because, I mean, we say that he knows everything, but then... You know, it's kind of like...
God doesn't know what it's like to not be God.
Right. Okay. I'll agree with that.
Except in the man of Jesus. And mm-hmm. he suffered greatly, and so yes. he knows what it's like to suffer, and he can sympathize with all of our weaknesses, but he doesn't know what it's like to be Dave in the first person. So you tell him. You talk to him. His understanding has no limit. It's not like you tell him, and he's like, could you explain that better, please?
Right.
No, you tell him, and he understands. He already knows what you're going through. He understands every ounce of your feeling, but you can tell him, and he is not going to ignore you. God already knows our prayers before we start, but what if we listened while praying because we don't know God's will? We're the ones who don't know. Man, I told you about the jet ski one, right? Well,
right.
I was. This is for my prayer journal. In 2010, I wanted a four wheeler. I wanted a four wheeler really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I love four wheelers. Oh, yeah. Jet skis and four wheelers. I'm sorry. What do you want from me? I'm a pastor.
You like
I love four wheelers, jet
skis.
And I wanted a four wheeler. And I was really thinking. And this is actually what I wrote down, or what I prayed. I said, because I thought about how a lot of the people in our congregation are poor. They don't have a lot mm-hmm. of money. And I thought, God, I'm not going to buy a four wheeler. I promise you, because I don't want to have stuff over the rest of my congregation.
Right.
I said, God, if it's okay for me to have one, you're going to have to prompt someone to give me one, because I'm going to be obedient. And through that prayer, a few weeks later, my wife comes into my in-laws' house, puts a blindfold on me. They lead me outside, and they take the blindfold off, and there's a four-wheeler. Like, we bought a four-wheeler for you! I had told nobody about that prayer, not
That's
even my
awesome.
Wife. God knows what he's doing. He wants to answer our prayers. Even though we know he knows everything, he
right.
still wants to interact with us.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to answer our prayers and do what we ask him. So even though God knows everything, we don't have to be bored in our prayers. And Jesus is the smartest man I ever lived. All right, truthrevolution.tv, right?
Right.
We want to hear from you. Please asking you to send in an email or a donation.
That's right. And then you can come to church coming up here in about 15 minutes.
Yeah. 10:15 a.m., Revolution Church.
1111 West South.
You can check us out online, SalinaRevolution.com. That's the name of the town, revolution.com. Mm-hmm.